I'm not used to using a mic. I'm normally at a house or under a mango tree somewhere. So this is awesome. But I just want to start off by saying my heart today is to take you on a journey. And so I want to use scripture definitely, but I also just want your heart to be open to what the Lord is doing and to hear what I'm trying to tell you. First off, I want to say I do definitely call this place home. This has been a family for me. Dave and CC are phenomenal leaders. And my main reason why I say it is because they're amazing at cultivating hunger. They're amazing at fighting for family. I've never been in a building and a church that has looked at me and said, "You're family," and done everything they can to live by that comment and make a covenant of family. And so if you're in this place, you're in a family setting today. So I just want to say that. And I just want to honor Dave and Cece for that. So give them a hand. I would also be silly not to mention a man named Bill Marsh, who has basically been a father to me for the last 5 years. Bill might not be in the building, but he is definitely a part of this family, and he's impacted a lot of people's lives in this room, and so I just want to give him honor as well. And so, yeah, I just want to dive into the Word at the beginning. I'm going to take you through some scriptures, but I also want to talk about my time in Indonesia. But let us start with the scripture. All right. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so it's Colossians 2, 16 to 23. So do not let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ himself is that reality. Do not let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. And they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows and God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings that these things deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, and they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Wow. I'll have to be honest, I had to look up the word pious. It means deeply religious with often negative connotation for one's religious endeavor that isn't genuine or from one's, like, from the heart. And so I love this passage, and I actually am so grateful that I got delayed by preaching and actually get to preach on this message, because this for me is what I've been seeing for the last year of my life. I want to go to the last scripture real quick. The last verse. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desire. That's what I've been seeing in Indonesia for the last year of my life. I rock up there with no connections, no nothing, and we meet a man. His name is Steve. And so, normal guy, but just loves God. If you had to look at him, he's nothing impressive, but he loves God. And he lives on this island called West Sumatra. This island is predominantly Muslim. His church is a church of like 30 people, and they are heavily persecuted in this area. So we, through a random, like, looking at Facebook, we find him and we get lunch with him, and nothing crazy happens in this lunch. But the next thing we know, we are like, "Hey, great to meet you. We're going to leave. We're going to go to the airport to pick up a few of our other friends." Now, we haven't told him we're with Overland, which is the organization I'm a part of. We haven't told him that we're missionaries there to minister the gospel and see Indonesia changed. We haven't said that. We're just telling him we're a bunch of friends that are Christian and we like to meet with other Christians on the island. And so we pick up our friends and he's in the car with us. And the driver is playing Islamic music, and my friend Steve grabs the aux cord and puts in his phone. He's like, "I'll play some music. Don't worry, guys." He starts playing worship music, and the whole entire car just freaks out. They're like, "There's no way." He starts playing our organization's music that we've only been producing for about a year and a half. We didn't tell him who we were. We looked up the Spotify stats of who listens to our music. Now, Indonesia is 369 million people, the largest populations of Muslims on the face of the earth. like oversees the Middle East. He is one out of nine that listen to our music. The chances of us finding him are 0.00009%. And we ask him, how do you know these people? How do you know this music? And he goes, the Lord showed it to me 5 months ago. I've been listening for 5 months and it's my heart. These people represent my heart for my nation. And we go, we're them. We're Overland Missions. And he goes, you're Overland? And he freaks out. He starts to freak out. And he goes, you're Overland. You're Overland. He says, whatever you want to do in this country, I will be a part of. I'll leave everything. He's now on staff with us. I've seen him be able to go to multiple different islands with us this last year. I watched him baptize someone for the first time. You know, we're talking about baptisms. He baptized someone. And as they came out, I had to grab the person because his hands were shaking. Steve's hands were shaking. He's like, so this to say, like, an interment of demon is in term of endearment is called bong. So he's like, bong, I'm freaking out. Bong, I'm freaking out. I'm like, what's going on, bong? What's going on? He goes, I had dreams and visions of this as a 14-year-old boy that I never knew I would accomplish. I never knew. And now I've been able to be a part of him. We and him are moving to an island this year when I get back in about 2 weeks' time. And that's the beginning. Nine people. We're a team of nine. That we're literally looking at 369 million people. And we're going, we're going to make you part of the kingdom of God. We're going to make you family. But the crazy thing is that it stems from a place like this. I remember coming here years ago. I was doing expeditions and I was running. I was doing everything. I had gone to 25 countries at that point. I had done 4 continents. I had done maybe over 40 expeditions around the world. I had led people that were ex-military, all these things. Like, I was cool. I was awesome. But I remember sitting at a Chipotle with Dave and going, Dave, I'm broken. I don't have it. I'm missing something. I've done all this, but I feel so far away from God. I feel so far away. How do I do this? What do I do? And he says, you know what, man? All you need is more of him. And I'm like, okay, Dave, I know you're a pastor, but please, this can't be the only thing that you're going to tell me to do, right? Like, there has to be more. There has to be pious self-denial. There has to be some bodily discipline. There has to be a strong devotion. There has to be more that I have to do. I have to cultivate this. And he says, I'm going to take you to Camp Geneva. Is it Geneva? Yeah. And he says, I'm going to talk to the guy and I'm just going to let you sit and you're just going to sit with the Lord every day. That changed the course of my life because it made me realize that I can come here and share a testimony like that with Steve, but I will not steward that opportunity and that man well if I do not know him, the Lord. Because that is the only thing that we're required to do is to know him and to make him known. So I can come here with cool, elegant words and wisdom, but if I do not know him, it means nothing. And that's what it says, one of my favorite verses, and it says, and Christ himself is the reality. And then it goes on to say, their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the body, the head of the body. For he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows, and God nourishes it. I'm here to tell you that all the accolades of ministry that I can share with you and all the people that I've seen get healed and touched mean nothing compared to knowing him. Because he is the substance. You know, if you read in Hebrews 11, verse 1, it says that faith is the I've got it down here. I'm not going to mess it up. The New King James Version says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance. Christ himself, if we can put that scripture on, all right. Christ himself is that reality. He is the reality of your faith. You know, I'm sitting here and I'm wondering, Lord, how do I get this across? And the Lord said, you need to share from your heart. You need to share what you've gone through because you can't deliver something. And so when I look at that Christ himself is that reality, it reminds me of a moment. It reminds me of when some of the disciples are walking away from Jesus and he looks at the 12 and he goes, are you too also going to walk away from me? And Peter says, where else will I go, Rabbi? Where else will I go? Because you hold the words of life. And you know what? I remember reading that scripture. I was actually at Camp Geneva. I remember reading that scripture and the Lord said to me, what does this mean for you? And I said, Lord, this is what it means. Well, Lord, you've ruined me for the world because I've seen too much. I might not understand everything that you're doing, and I might not understand the trials and tribulations I go through, but your reality is that you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so I might not have figured it out yet, but the reality is I have no other choice because I've been separated from the world. I can't go back. Where else will I go? I've been ruined. I've seen too much. I know too much. So I might as well keep going. And I remember being in that place, and this is what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you guys. Like, I'm skipping through a lot of things, so I really want to hit home on this. When the lights go out and you're lying in your bed and there's no one to talk to, do you hear him? When there's no one leading you in worship, do you still feel his presence? He is the reality. We face obstacles that feel like reality, but his reality is greater. I want to go to the first picture, Mallory, and that's Steve. No, sorry, second picture, sorry. That's me praying over a guy. I'll get there. Steve. This is Steve right here. Steve right here. For you guys over that side, he's on my right. I'm the one that is looking at him. This is what my life looks like on a daily basis. I take a 3-hour ferry to a remote island, and I minister the gospel to people. And this is me and Steve talking. And Steve, right now in this conversation, is telling me, Bong, they're asking me about the Holy Spirit. How do I share? And I go, Bong, what does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? And he says, it means everything. He's changed how I see things because he's given me a spiritual glasses, so I can only see what he allows me to see. He is the reality. And so now these guys over here on the other side, we're talking to them. They're coming from a Muslim background. And you can go back to the first photo, sorry. The first photo, this is a guy. This is a Muslim island. 369 million people, 2% I think are Christian. And so I'm praying to them and they're telling me, what is your problem with me, basically? I'm like, what is your problem with me? They're like, well, we have two problems with you as a Christian. One, you say that we recognize Jesus as a prophet. He is not the Son of God and he is not God, number one. Two, you think that Jesus is your get out of jail free card and you can have relationship with the divine power. That's our problem with you. We have to pray 5 times a day. If we are on the way to the mosque and we touch a dog, we have to go back and clean ourselves. We are not holy. We are not clean towards God. We have to work for it. We have to work for it. And you guys think you can come in and have it for free. And I'm like, wow. But isn't that the thing? Because even in this day and age, the scariest thing for me is what I've heard Muslims say is the same thing I hear Christians say. It's the same thing I hear. I hear this: the rock up to certain holy days, new moon ceremony, Sabbath. What do not eat, do not taste, do not handle these things. These things are what make up your religion, make up your relationship. And the Lord goes, knowing me is what makes up everything. Because I came to fulfill the law so that you would not be bound by it. That you would honor it, but you would not be bound by it. And so this is my heart for you. You know, I wanted to share a bunch of things, but I'm standing here and I'm going, Lord, what are you doing in this room? And he goes, there are people that are learning to know me is better than knowing an addiction, knowing performance, knowing anxiety. Knowing me is more valuable than knowing those things. Because when you know something, you're consumed by it. You're consumed by it. You know, me and Grant were talking to a guy named Clay. He's an amazing guy. I hope you guys get to meet him one day. He said something to me that stuck out, and it wraps up this, where he was going through a hard time and going through like some massive addictions and things like that. And you could go and, okay, you can do this, you can do that, you can do that. And I'm not against discipline, but discipline with no heart will never last. A man stays faithful to his wife out of discipline because he loves her. A man that does not want to honor his wife will not have the discipline to last. It's the same thing with us in relationship. And so when you have things that consume you, that know you in such a way, and you're like, how do I get, okay, I'm going to walk away from it. I'm going to throw it down the journey. I'm not going to be anxious anymore. I'm just going to walk away from those people. You do all these projects and these behavior modifications, all these things. And Clay said something to me, and it's been what has been my heart for the last couple of years. He said, well, I knew I had an addictive personality, so why not just be addicted to Jesus? So simple. And it was what happened to me at Camp Geneva, because literally I'm looking at a man who I honor, and I'm going, I'm broken, I'm messed up, I'm not going to be able to continue the pace that I'm going. I've done some amazing things for God, but I won't be able to continue. And he goes, don't, just know him, and all of it will flow. That's basically what I heard. That's what my heart leapt for. And I said, you're telling me there's a chance that my performance will no longer come from from these things, but Christ being my substance of my faith and the reality of who I am and what I've become will change me. That's what you're telling me. I'll take it. It says in Hebrews 11, I think verse 6, it says, without faith is it impossible to please God. And it says that it goes about naming the heroes of the faith, Moses, Abraham, and it says it was counted, his faith was counted to him as what? Righteousness. That is the reality. Thank you, Lord. What I don't want you to hear is don't do any disciplines. Don't do anything that requires like physical, tangible work. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you do it without him being the anchor point of why you're wanting to do it, don't read the word because it's the right thing to do. Read it because it's your life, it's your breath, it's your bread. It gives you hunger, it feeds the hunger of your soul. Talk to God, not because it's the right thing to do, it's the good Michigan the thing to be a part of a church and to do it. It's because he is your father, he knows you, he fought for you on the cross. When he was on this thing 2,000 years ago, he's like, I'm dying for Dave, I'm dying for Reese, I'm dying for Nathan, I'm dying for Rebecca, I'm dying for Shane, I'm dying for Rick. That's what he was doing. He fought to know you. He fought to know you. And that's the reality that you live in. So when your reality says he does not want anything to do with you, that you haven't done enough, that you're in that cycle again, and this is just going to be who the life you are, he goes, my blood says a better word. I fought to know you that you would know me. Because when you know him, the value of who he is in your life changes everything. That was the thing that I was missing. When Dave was chatting to me and I went to Camp Sheaven, it's what I found there. It wasn't that I wasn't doing the things. It was the value of what was going on in my heart. I'd valued something else or what it could give me over what he was in my life. And it took something like this, reading this, going, Christ, the reality. You've been separated from these evil things, these spiritual powers. You've been separated. The reality is he is yours and you are his. I'm like, what does that even mean, Lord? Like, where do I start with that? It starts with believing that he is who he says he is and that you are who he says you are. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. In this room, I'm seeing people getting transformed. I'm seeing a desire to see people transformed. I'm also seeing a desire to protect. You know, when I heard Rick come up and saying, I want to pray over the people that are going through this. He's not scared to have a bad reputation for restoration. Like, oh, we had some great guys and then they fell. He's like, no, I just don't want you to fall because I know the value. If you keep going up, how much more will be revealed to you? That's his heart. Dave didn't look at me and go, there's another kid who acted high and was another Icarus pastor, another Icarus missionary who flew too close to the sun and fell. He didn't look at me like it. He said, listen, you're just a son who needs more of his father. I was about to go into programs and all those things. And he goes, listen, all you need is more of him. And I'm like, surely that can't be just the answer. There has to be more. And then I think of the thief on the cross, which this is how much Christ is the reality of the situation. The thief on the cross rocks up to heaven at the gates. And I'm imagining the angels trying to check him in going, Book of Life. Okay, what's your name? Your name's in here, but how did you go to church? What is your understanding of sanctification through faith and all those things? What denomination are you a part of? He's like, okay, this is confusing. Okay, calls supervisor, Archangel Gabriel. Gabriel rocks up and he goes, he's in the book. Like, and then they go, who said you can come here? He goes, the man on the middle. The man on the middle cross said I could come. That's why I'm here. The man on the middle cross said I could come. I remember hearing that scripture. I remember hearing a man from Ireland preach that exact same thing. And I'm like, oh my goodness, is that easy? He's done all the work so that I could know him, that I could selfishly just fall in love with him. I can tell you how many other people we have a girl who literally was a Muslim for her entire life. She's going around the college campus. She got baptized in our bathtub a couple months ago. She got baptized in our bathtub because we would meet with her and she said, every time you talk to me, it feels like my spirit's getting fed. Not a day in church. And that's what she's telling us. Like every time you talk about this Jesus, there's like an electricity going through my body. And then we sit with her, and now we can't get her to stop talking. She's running around college campuses going, the imams are lying to you. They're telling you have to do all these things that you'll never, like, you're good luck trying to have a good enough time getting to heaven. Allah might shine upon you. He might not. You never know. But you have to keep doing these things. You can't do this. You can't do that. And you know what I'm noticing? So Ramadan just happened. This will put into picture what I'm trying to say to you. Ramadan just happened, which is where Muslims, they will fast from morning till night, and it's supposed to be their holiest time. In most Muslim countries, predominantly Muslim countries, there is not more food consumed by the local person than during Ramadan. Ramadan is the highest food consumption in throughout the entire year in a Muslim thing, where it's supposed to be denial and self-things because they can't control themselves, because their ability to have discipline is out of works, not out of reality of knowing who their father is. So they can deny themselves for a couple of hours, but they're the grumpiest, meanest during that time. And when the sun goes down, gluttony hits. They're just scoffing their faces. And they eat, the average Muslim will eat three times their normal amount of food during the time of Ramadan. But they will not look, they will look the most holy, the most well put together, the most clean on the inside. Because their reality is that what they're fighting for comes from a place of discipline and not knowing who their father is. And then you go, oh man, those Muslims, I was just that. And that's the scariest thing, is because it's easy to go, yeah, they don't know who Jesus is. I had an idea of who Jesus was, and I was still acting the same way. I want that to sit with you guys. And I'm going to keep saying the same thing because the message hasn't changed from 2,000 years. He is who he says he is. Therefore, you are who he says you are. And you can encounter him, and he fought to have a relationship with you. And I've heard that so many times, and it's meant nothing to me. I'll be honest. I've sat in church, and I've had those moments, and then I go, and Taco Bell's waiting, and I have a steak grilled cheese burrito and a Baja Blast, and I'm like back to my normal life. But it was until I realized the value of who was calling me theirs. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Alpha and Omega. That's the one who's calling you home. That is the one that says, I want to know you, and you have all access to me. So what does that look like? We've heard it, but what does that look like? Well, first start with believing it. Because here's the thing. I believed for so many years in other things that could satisfy me. I gave them all my effort. We have countless testimonies here in this room of anxiety. It might have been killing, but you ran to it because it became comfortable. Addictions. We love to use addictions, but what about just secret stuff that people don't, like anger that people don't hear about? Lying, gossiping, all those things. They just become a part of what you do because they become comfortable. Or work. As a minister, I ran to work. That was the funniest thing, is I was preaching the gospel, and then I would run to do more work because I could not actually live with myself. So I was like, well, let me just do more work to feel better. Let me just do more ministry to feel better. And it didn't work. The clock ran out on that, because the discipline that I was doing did not come from a place of love and from a reality that he is who he says he is, and he is my father. And so I want to go into a time of prayer, because if one thing has taught me being in Indonesia for the last year of my life, is that I'm so sad that people are so hungry to serve a God that can give them nothing. Whereas I serve a Father who is God, who is King, that wants to give me everything, that has given me everything. The only thing that I have to do is receive, because the only thing that pleases him is faith, because I cannot add or subtract from salvation. The only role we play in salvation is choosing it. So if you're going to choose salvation, why don't you just choose to believe the fullness of what it is? It's a choice. You know, we love to celebrate. I chose to deny this thing. I chose to deny this. How about choosing to believe that you are who he says he is?
That's right.
That you are who he says you are. That he is who he says he is. Even when you don't see it, because that is substance. I don't know if anybody here likes soup. Personally, I think soup is great, but I always want like seven bowls afterwards. It never fills. And that is what religion looks like. It's fruit. It's been made by good things. It's filled with good nutrition things, but I'm always hungry afterwards. But then you give me a steak. And you give me a steak. And I'm sitting there and I'm going and I'm going. And I can run 1,000 miles. But then, as Nathan hates me for this because I love Taco Bell. But then I go home and I drink a Baja Blast and I have a chicken quesadilla and a steak grilled cheese burrito and I feel empty and dead. I'm full, but there's nothing satisfying in it. My stomach is full and my body is confused because it has something in it, but the substance of it is not worth it. That is what we have to figure out. Do you want substance for your faith? Do you want substance for your walk with the Lord? Because I'm telling you, it's the only way to go. Because the only reason why I'm seeing victory in Indonesia and all these testimonies is because I'm giving them something of substance. Not a religion, not a 10 ways to fix yourself and a behavior modification. It's, you want to stop beating your wife? Discover what love is. And that is a person. His name is Jesus. Reese, I have to tell you, I all the anger that left me, that caused me to want to beat my wife is done. I tried for so many years not to hit her, not to see her like an object, because that's what my religion taught me. And so I stopped. I'm like, how did you stop? He said, because I fell in love with something else. I'm like, what did you fall in love with? I fell in love with Jesus. The answer to everything in this room, and your flesh will hate this, is believing that Jesus is who he says he is. I can't give you anything else. We can stand here for the next 20 years and we can decipher every scripture. And you know what it will lead back to? Christ, the reality, the hope of glory. That separated you from your sin as far as the east is from the west. That gives you the right to call him Abba Father. You were once his enemy, now you are his sons. That's the reality. Nothing's going to change. There's going to be no new answer. There's no new get out of jail free card. There's nothing else that exists. It's just him. And he's been that for 2,000 years and for the beginning of time. And he'll be that until the end of time and into eternity. There's a reason why the angels cry, holy, holy, holy. Not because they have to, because they turn. He goes, you just got holier. Oh my goodness, you just got holier. That's just what keeps happening. And, you know, it's just funny that actually Tanner is here. So Tanner, just stand up for a second. Tanner is a Zealand boy, even though he's got a tan because he just went to Florida. He's from Zealand, grew up here, was a swimmer. I would see him at the rec center in Zealand Rec almost every other day. And Tanner, on the outside, seemed like a normal kid, just, you know, went to church, all these things. And he said, you know, actually, I think I want to know more about Jesus. I actually want to see what this is all about. He's now moving to Indonesia with me. He's busy fundraising to move to Indonesia with me. Not because I'm cool, not because I'm worth anything or like I share a good message. Because God is so real to him. And he found him. He's like, I'm so tired of accepting what I got given, which was the Sunday relationship with the Lord. Men and women here who are married, if you only got to see your husband or your wife on a Sunday, would you call that a successful marriage? Absolutely not. So why do we accept it with Jesus? Why, if you and your wife are having a misunderstanding, what do? You sit down and you don't move until it's figured out, right? Why do we leave that with the Lord? Why do we leave that with the Lord? No, but we get real. We get like Job. Job is one of my favorite things. Not because he went through chaos. It's because he said the most rude things to the Lord out of prayer. If you read Job, his prayers are brutal. Brutal to God. Same with David in the Psalms sometimes. You know what God says to Job's friends? Have Job pray for you. Why would God do that? Because even though he was going through hell, he still talked to God about it. Where else will I go, Rabbi? I'm ruined for the world. I don't understand everything you're doing, but I got to keep going. It's the same thing in Indonesia with me. When I'm there, I'm like, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't want to be out here at times. The food is terrible. I eat snake and I have to, you're ready, get ready. I eat snake, the sun hits hard, the traffic is crazy, the police come and visit us once a month. All these things, there's 369 million people. The Lord's told me to put a disciple on each of the inhabited islands. There's 6,000 inhabited islands. How do I do that, Lord? I can talk, but I can't talk that much, you know? Like, what do I do? And he's like, know me and make me known. Know me and make me known. I'm the reality of your faith. It is me. Am I right, Lord? I'm going to start with you. And next thing you know, as I'm worshiping the Lord, Steve comes along. And then there's another Lydia, and then another Lydia, and another Lydia. Now I'm running 4 expeditions to remote islands this year in Indonesia. And the guys that are coming with me are asking, so what's your strategy? I'm like, Jesus? No, okay, cool. But like, we can handle it. Like, what's your strategy? I'm like, I'm going to rock up there and I'm going to act accordingly to what the Lord has asked me to do. And I'm going to believe that he's going to do everything he said he's going to do. My job is not to figure him out. My job is to trust him. My job is not to figure out why I'm going through what I'm going through. My job is to trust him and to love him. Again, because when the lights go out and there's no one there to minister into your ear, do you hear him? When Nathan and Rebecca are not standing up here worshiping and leading you, do you feel his presence? That is the reality, that in those moments, you can know him just as much as you know him in these moments. He was never meant to, your relationship was never meant to be contained to the four walls of this place. It's your heart. Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount, it seems like the most intense thing of rules. And what he's doing is showing you, I'm after your heart. I've never been after performance. I'm after your heart. The verse that used to scare me, and I feel like this is going to relate to a lot of people in the room, is like the pastor would get up, and then the Lord said, depart from me, I never knew you. And you're like, oh, Jesus, please don't let that be me. Please. I can go to Sunday service. I can go to kids' church. I'll do anything. Please. Like, that's the reality of it. And actually, it's an invitation. That scripture is an invitation. And I'm like, there's no way that's an invitation. He's like, Reese, I said, depart from me, I never knew you. Not depart from me, I never wanted to know you. People that don't end up with him, it's because they never knew him, not because he didn't want to know them. So if you want to know him, he's done everything. He tore the veil from top to bottom. There's no distance between you and him. No matter what you feel like, he sets the reality of your life. Perspective is more dangerous than reality at times. Because if you think you're far away from him, you will be. If you believe that, you have one thing in your, this is my favorite thing. I've been to a bunch of different islands in Indonesia and I always ask them, what do you believe in? And no one has ever said to me, what is belief? Everyone knows what I'm talking about. He gave you the ability to believe in him, to have faith. Because he wanted you. He's wanted you from the beginning. Genesis 3, when we see him curse the snake, he says what? I'll put enmity between you, your offspring, and my offspring. You will bruise his heel, but he will bruise your head. You know that? You know what God is saying there? You thought you got my people. There will be a way made where I'll get my people back. He will bruise you. You might get a hit on him, but he will destroy you. That's what he's saying. It's like this. It will go back to the garden. I will return my people to the garden, walking and talking with me. That has always been my desire. So here's the thing. If you don't believe that, the problem is always on your end, never his, because he is who he says he is. That is the reality. You get to start where your perspective starts. He's already said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's already set the reality for your life. It is your job to match it and see it. Amen? Amen. All right, so as we're closing up, I know I've said a lot of things, but I genuinely, like, everything got, like, changed when I started hearing the testimonies about what was happening and stuff like that. I want people just to genuinely just around the room, just gather in prayer. Just gather in prayer. I'm pulling an audible if that's okay.
Just pray for the people who know
him. Yes. So if you don't know the Lord and you want to know him, we'd love to have the elders and Nathan and Rebecca, would you mind coming up and just pray and like just leading worship for a little bit? People who don't know him and who want to know him the way I'm talking about, it's available to you today. So if you want that, please come up and we'll have the prayer team with us. But if there are other people that want to gather and just start praying and just start calling out lies, this is why I don't believe fully. Like, be vulnerable. This is a family. Let's actually put it to the thing. We are a family. I've never been to a church where people actually like share prayer requests. And I've seen it grow over years where people were like nervous at the beginning. And then they realized the reality of the room was everybody was loved in this room and there was a heart for a thing here. And so now that has become the reality of this place that anybody else walks into. Do you see what I'm trying to get at? And so if you want to know the Lord, I would love for you to come up and I would love to pray for you. But if you do know the Lord and you want to set your reality as him being the substance of your faith, gather with someone that you trust. And if you don't, feel comfortable, just pray by yourself. If you want prayer for that, come up as well. But I just want people praying in this room. I want people talking to their Father. That is my heart right now. That's what I feel very urgently to do. And so I'll have...